Mysterio Lionel! Extraordinario! Magnifico!
Welcome to episode 32 of the Football Corner, or as we're calling it internally, episode 1 of the Lockdown Edition. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
And if you guys are new or old, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and more.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media. That's at Muncha Podcasts.
That's right. And now that we have all our CTAs out of the way, let's jump into some updates from the world of football regarding COVID-19 and the situation. So there's a lot of talk happening about what should happen with the season, how should it progress, what would be the ideal conclusion. Now, all of that, I feel like, is all speculation pure because we don't know when the situation is going to come to a standstill, right? It's still pretty bad out there all across the world. A lot of countries are yet to see the peak in terms of being the worst hit with this pandemic. So it's very tough to say that, oh, let's assume that, you know, April end, we'll be in a better position. So May mid or June mid or whatever it is, we can start figuring out when to do our season restart. But there are quite a few interesting opinions out there. I think all the UEFA committee members are about or have already gotten on this massive conference call to sort of figure out possible scenarios. Shreyas, right. Any thoughts there in terms of how the season could progress, let's assume that at some point a June restart looks somewhat feasible?
Right. I mean, most of the supposed dignitaries and the people in the football associations and stuff, what they're saying is that most leagues or most European leagues, we have anywhere from 10 to 12 domestic games left. And then there's the domestic competitions, the knockouts, the Champions Leagues, et cetera, et cetera. So let's say roughly each team will play anywhere from 10 to, let's say, 15, 20 matches. They roughly need, if they're playing every alternate day, that means they need anywhere from 20 to 30 days to finish off those matches. Let's give them a 45-day period with some breathing space. Assuming June, July, we're good to go, keeping in mind that there may not be any home and away. They might be played in neutral stadiums. They might be played behind closed doors, so no supporters also in those neutral stadiums. Yeah, that sucks, but that's still better than, for example, either nulling and voiding the season or rewarding the positions as they stand right now. So it sucks to see and believe that that might be best case scenario, keeping in mind that you want to start 2021 on time. You want to have the Olympics, the Euros, everything else on time in the summer of 2021. So it's looking really touch and go. But like you said, we won't know until we hit the worst and then we actually start to come down. And looking at China, what they had their first cases in December. Finally, end March, their businesses are back. Everyone's outside. So it took a communist-controlled AF country 3 months. I'm afraid to use that same sort of hypothesis on other first world or third world countries, but yeah, it's not looking good.
It's not looking good, and China's also like not back to normal, right? They've only just managed to restart a few things economically and all of that. And the issue is that it's basically Europe. It's different countries who have managed this pandemic differently. So England's in a different state as compared to Germany, or we know what's happening with Italy. It's so badly hit by this pandemic, and Spain. So it's all going to be different. And I agree with you on whether we shouldn't scrap the season. That doesn't make much sense because a majority of the season is already played out. And the season should not be awarded as is. Because apart from England, like, you know, there are other countries where the race for the winner is much closer. And the real losers there will be the guys who end up getting relegated, because there's always a fighting chance of them trying to climb out of the relegation table. So that necessarily should not be the solution. But what's also brutal is that for any leagues to have been paused for this long, where the players haven't trained and, you know, they're not obviously peak condition physically. And then to, when it does restart, to throw them into this 3 games a week sort of situation, that's going to be injuries galore, guaranteed. Like literally two players from each squad are going to be injured, and that's not the ideal solution as well. I think I think Wayne Rooney said this a while ago, a week or so ago. I think that might be the best case solution, is that just progress your league as normal whenever it does restart. Let it have its conclusion. And then the subsequent season, which obviously starts in August and September, truncate that season. So essentially what happens there is that teams, players, coaches, all of them go into a new season knowing that the season that's going to start now will only have 25 games or 20 games, right? And then UEFA figures out a Champions League schedule and all of that. But the season that is happening right now just ends, takes its natural course and ends as is. Obviously, there's a lot of complications there as well. You know, like players out of contract end of June. And what does it count as a new season? Does the next season count as a new season? Contractually, all of that, financially, all of that needs to be figured out as well. But it needs to be figured out in each and every situation. So it's not like you can escape all of that in any way. But to me, that makes the most sense. Like you finish your season as if a regular season, you were supposed to take an X months break, and then you just finish out your season as is, and then begin the next season assuming that it's a truncated season. I think that makes sense for like most sports, NBA as well. So NBA has like teams play like 80 regular season games before they hit the playoffs. So it doesn't make sense to just cut the season right now and be like, okay, whoever the top 8 teams are, you guys go and play the playoffs. That makes no sense as well, because there are a lot of teams who are 9th, 10th, 11th who have a fighting chance to get into that 8th spot, 7th spot as well. So the season that we have right now should be played out. I don't think it should be rushed and played out, because that just makes no sense for the players. Then you're just literally doing it for the fans and for the commercial side of it. You're not truly looking at player benefits there as well. So it's pretty up in the air, man. It's going to be interesting how the FAs and the FIFAs and the UEFAs of the world tackle this and come to a solution. I'm keenly going to look at all sports to see how they sort of figure out this best case intersection of financials, fans, as well as well-being of all the players and you know, like the teams involved in these sports and how they come out of it. It's going to be testing. There are going to be solutions where they won't be able to satisfy all 3 or 4 of these stakeholders, but someone will have to suffer. I guess it's usually the players in this situation, because money and fans always trump everything in every sport. I just hope it's not too brutal on them that it affects their long-term futures or next seasons or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I don't think they're going to look at players' benefits or best case scenario for them, so to say. It's why it's down to the money is because that's what pays the player salaries. Broadcasting as a source of revenue is, I think, the number one revenue for a lot of clubs, at least in the Premier League. I know that Spain and Germany and France do it a little differently, but they split that broadcasting revenue amongst the top 20 by position. So even if you're playing behind closed doors, even if you're playing with crazy hectic schedules, maybe they'll allow bigger squads for the remaining part of the season so that they can manage. I think that's one way of looking at taking care of the players. But money trumps all. A messed up situation of that, and how European countries are reacting differently to this. We know that one of the bigger leagues, Turkey, very recently shut down. But a smaller known country, Alexander Hleb, former Barcelona, Birmingham, Arsenal, his country is still playing. And apparently they're selling broadcasting rights for the Belarusian league. And that's going for big money.
That's the only football available. It's absurd, man. The leader, quote unquote, of that country is just literally, I think last week or a few days ago, he said that, hard work will kill this virus. Everyone go to your farms and work, and if you laughter and happiness or something along those lines, like watching football is a pleasurable for all people, that will get, he's insane, dude. And those players are being forced to play. That's absurd. That guy should be tried for war crimes. Apparently, he's done much worse as a leader, and he's been leading that country for so many years. But it's absurd that those guys are still playing. I can't.
Fine. So we're not too worse off with our 5 p.m. clinging, clanging, and congregations and stuff. But yeah.
I mean, also we have 1.5 billion people to manage, as opposed to I don't even know what the population of Belarus is. So it's a different situation there. Very sad to see that league is still on, and like Russian TV stations are buying rights for Belarus leagues now. So I don't think that should be promoted. People shouldn't be paying money for that, because that's giving the guy the wrong ideas, right? So it's just absurd that they're playing such a bad situation the entire world is in right now. There's so many deaths around the world. There's so much suffering. There's, obviously, that needs to get resolved before we get to lesser important things like football. But it's always just curious to see what turns out. So what we'll be doing till in this lockdown sort of situation for TFC is that every week we'll be coming out with new episodes. Obviously, we'll be talking about COVID-19 related updates regarding the world football and in general as well. And whatever updates there are from a decision standpoint and whatever the standpoint is at that point, basically, is what we'll talk about. And then we have a bunch of interesting, you know, outside of the current situation footballing segments that we've thought about. One of them is, so for example, obviously whenever football stops, for whatever reason it is, summer breaks or winter breaks or COVID-19 breaks, the transfer rumors just go through the roof. People just go absurd. Paul Pogba's already been to Real, Juventus. I saw a random Barcelona article. I was like, ye to bakwas hai. This, whoever this publication is, ye to bakwas kar rahi hai.
It's so 15 hours.
That's always going to happen. Sorry, Shreyas's laptop is AI controlled for every time the clock hits 3 p.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m. So that's happening. But we thought that an interesting version of that would be if Shreyas and I tackle one team at a time and we present our best case options given contract situations, budget situations, needs of the club in terms of players, needs of the club in terms of personnel, and give our best case two or three options in terms of who that club should sign. So the club for this particular segment is Shreyas's beloved Chelsea FC. And one thing that we're assuming is that the players who are out of contract by the end, by this summer, June, that's Willian, Marco Van Ginkel, Willy Caballero, and Olivier Giroud. Those guys are not going to get their contracts renewed. That's one thing that we've assumed. And something that we've assumed, albeit not so rigidly, is that maybe Pedro will be leaving, given his comments that he wants to leave. And just the feeling that maybe Marcus Alonso might leave. I'm not too sure about that. I feel like if the right deal doesn't materialize for him, Lampard might be more than happy to keep him. But given the interest that Antonio Conte has for wingbacks and Chelsea players, that Venn diagram of intersection is very strong. It's very undeniable. So maybe Conte might pursue Marcus Alonso and give maybe an unreasonable deal for Inter to Chelsea. So Marcus Alonso on the fence, Giroud, Pedro, Willy, and Marco Van Ginkel definitely going to leave. And those are the four that we're assuming. So, basis of that and basis of who we think Chelsea need, or where we think rather Chelsea needs to reinforce, we've come up with a list of four positions/players each. Obviously, Shreyas and I have not discussed this because I'm very curious to just hear on Mike what he has to say. So, Shreyas, how do you want to do this? Do you want to do 1-1 or do you want to do you go four and I go four? Your call.
No, I think let's do 1-1.
Okay, then let's start from the back. I don't know what your positions are either, but let's just start from the back. Why don't you go first?
Okay, so I'm actually starting all the way back. This is since Kepa decided that he's a manager of Chelsea FC during the loss against City. So close for Sarri's first trophy, he had to wait for the Europa League for that. But apparently, yeah, he was in a suit and tie the next day, ready to sign a contract to be Chelsea's manager.
Oh,
yeah, so he's one, not that I'd entirely want to get rid of, because, yeah, the kid still has potential, he's still young. But I don't know, maybe it's the most expensive tag that's got to him. Maybe he hasn't had some level of consistency with, you know, the stuff with Sarri last year, then Lampard coming in this year, and then him having, I think, the worst record, I think, in the Premier League currently. So maybe if he has the will to try it out for another year, then keep him, if not sell him. But then in his place, I'd like this young kid from Italy, Donnarumma. The guy's been, I don't know, he's still 21, 20. I don't know how young he is. But yeah, he's been playing first team Milan for quite some time. Apparently, he's not, wasn't doing too well this season. And even Milan has had their ups and downs with Gattuso. But yeah, so he looks like, but again, you know, young kid, high-ish price tag. So how do you avoid that? Another consideration in that position is Ter Stegen. Again, rumblings of what's going on at Barcelona. Has he run his course, you know, with that team, won everything he could, what happens next season, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a good mix of maybe someone young with Kepa, if Kepa stays, but if Kepa leaves, then maybe someone get more experience like a Ter Stegen.
Okay, pick one, dude. Come on. Show some conviction. Who does the Chelsea fan want in his team?
Assuming I'd like Kepa to stay, definitely Donnarumma.
Donnarumma, okay. I swear this is unprepared. I mean, this is prepared but not discussed. I actually have the same pick for a slightly different reasons. So essentially, Donnarumma feels like he's been playing for a decade, but he's only 20, 21 because he broke into AC Milan's first team like when he was 16. Yeah. When he broke in, that was like pure raw talent. Obviously, not a better option for Milan then as well. So they wanted the Italian young blood to come in. And he's huge. He's massive. And he was really good. And there was a lot of raw talent. And then you saw that for like two seasons or so that, you know, okay, fine, he's developing and all of that. And now I feel like he's kind of experienced enough to be a good keeper. But he hasn't had the best past two seasons. But given his age, I feel like a jolt, like changing your club and all of that will help in terms of just bringing out the best in him. The other reason that this might be a good transfer for Chelsea is that now he's going to hit the final year of his contract. So even though he probably has some absurd release clause, the final year of his contract just allows teams to better negotiate the exit price for him. And also he has Mino Raiola as his agent. And you know when Mino Raiola gets pissed off at a club, he does whatever needs to be done for that person to leave the club and stuff. So Chelsea might be a good destination for him. The whole youth situation that they're going under. I agree, Kepa's not done the best. He needs to go. And especially with Willy leaving after the season because his contract expires, they do need a keeper. Even if Kepa stays, Donnarumma is going to be someone who can come maybe in the 25 million price range, which is not the worst price for a young, experienced keeper. And that could drive either one of their levels up. And you know, one of them definitely will come through. So I agree with you. Donnarumma is a good pick for the goalkeeper position. And they definitely need to strengthen that, regardless of Kepa staying or not. Okay, so we're on the same page there. What's next for you?
Center back.
Okay, same for me, actually. I'm very curious to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think Rudiger and Christensen have been somewhat first choice. Both of them young, both of them upcoming, both of them somewhat prone to their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And then you have Kurt Zuma and Fikayo Tomori hanging back as backups. Kurt Zuma, I hope he leaves. I don't like the guy. Yeah, he's had way too many opportunities at the highest level and it just doesn't seem to deliver. He's at that point in his career where he should be that leader figure and maybe he showed that at Everton to a certain extent, but he's not a big club player, maybe. And no better situation to come out as a leader with the youngsters at Chelsea, with Lampard, with leading experience, etc., etc. So we need some experience. We've missed the Terrys, the Carvalhos. You know, even Alex, for God's sake, like the guy was just here for like 3 or 4 years, but shy guy, big guy, still did his thing and left. So we need something similar. And if we could pick up Koulibaly, even if that's for a close to 75, 80, 90 million, I think we need him. He's 28 years old. He has insane strength. He comes from some level of tactical nuances from his time in Napoli. So if he's available, I think Chelsea should snap him up like this more tomorrow.
Okay, so Koulibaly is interesting. Again, I need you to pick one. You've thrown in some really interesting options there. Koulibaly, personally, I think, I don't know, if he is available, then is Chelsea his preferred destination? That's also a big if, because I feel like everyone in the world would want to snap him up as well, right? And given that high price tag, I'm not too sure if Chelsea might work out as an option for him, although he would fit in pretty well in any team that he goes to, right? So I feel like he's the N'Golo Kante equivalent of centre-back. He'll just kill it wherever he goes. So that's a good option, but what's your preferred one in terms of the realms of logic with transfers and budgets and player position and all of that?
Yeah, if he was made available, and I know Conte wanted him at Chelsea way back when. Napoli gave like two shits. What's the president's name? Aurelio De Laurentiis?
Laurentiis, yeah. He's a movie producer, bro.
Spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah. And he's very hot-headed, dude. He'll fire Carlo Ancelotti just to get good. He's done this like for a decade. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, minus the randomness that happens with the Italians, Chelsea have definitely made their interest known way back when. And I know what's the current situation, but there were rumors that after Ancelotti was fired, that a lot of the senior players wanted to leave, Dries Mertens included, stuff like that. So maybe there might be some sort of a shakeup if and when the season this season ends in whatever staggered way. But, I mean, besides him, there was one other option, but he's a youngster. So, I don't know how that plays into my experience requirement. But there's Dayot Upamecano from RB Leipzig. And he's 21 years old. He's almost like a young Koulibaly. He's and the thing with Leipzig is that with Julian Nagelsmann's team, they're just tactically so new. That entire team, Timo Werner included. So, yeah, he's another one that I hope Chelsea can pick up, but besides the options that you and me are picking, apparently Chelsea are already bidding for this Lille defender, Gabriel Magalhães, Brazilian. He's another youngster. So I'm not entirely sure what Chelsea are trying to do. Are they just trying to simply fill up the numbers and wait for one of these guys to sort of show up with some sort of leadership? Because Rudiger is not all that bad, but he's seriously prone to injury. And one of the biggest things to be a leader is to be consistent, even if you have bad performances, but you're part of a team and you can sort of, you know, show up in other ways off the ball, in the dressing room, stuff like that, which we had so much in plenty that probably I couldn't understand when I started watching football with the Ballack, SCN, even John Obi Mikel, which, like, honestly, Chelsea fans didn't understand why he was there. And usually the first name on every first team sheet week in, week out. It's because the guy just did one thing. He had to do one thing and he did that well. He didn't have flash. He didn't have anything else. So obviously, yeah, looking back and with so much of contrast with, you know, Mourinho's and Carlo Ancelotti's and stuff at the helm to now having Lampard and so many academy guys in the first team, I understand that now. And I hope Chelsea have a very similar view and they go for experience. So Koulibaly has to be my first pick, my only pick for centre-back.
Interesting. Okay, so I have a centre-back as well. I don't think Koulibaly is going to work out, because if Koulibaly does make himself available, I think there will be clubs of A, no offence, much higher stature than Chelsea, and B, deeper pockets than Chelsea, and B, the promise of trophies, right? So, he's been at Napoli. They've been doing well, but they've been doing well in terms of seconds and thirds and fourths. So, a player of his calibre would be sort of itching to get trophies under his belt as well. So maybe Chelsea might not work out. for him. I think given this entire situation, now what Lampard's trying to do is just to avoid whatever happened during the first three-fourths of the season, which is to have Christensen get injured or Rudiger get injured and having to rely on Tomori and Kurt Zouma more and more. So therefore, he wants a proper centre-back in his lineup as well. I think Gabriel from Lille is actually a pretty decent option. He was having a really good season. Chelsea are linked with him. He's not that expensive. I think he'll be in the 25 to 30 million pound range. And he's young. He's young Brazilian. He's like 22, 23. I think that'll be a pretty good option for them. Again, with the whole motif of youth players and, you know, coachable players, essentially. That's what Lampard's probably looking for. Not too expensive. Has a decent track record, even though it's just been a season. Before the season, he'd been loaned out a bunch of 2-3 years straight from Lille. So loaning also just gives a lot of experience to players, just playing in different leagues, different teams, different setups and all of that. So I think Gabriel's actually a pretty decent option for them. Obviously, if Koulibaly says yes, then it's a no-brainer. Just sign him without even thinking about it twice. I personally don't feel like Koulibaly might work out for Chelsea as an option. So my defender pick is Gabriel. The other weird rumor I saw was that Samuel Umtiti is apparently out of favor at Barcelona and he wants to come to Chelsea. Yeah. Honestly, if he does, I don't think that'll be a bad option as well. Obviously, it's unknown of how a player fits into the Premier League situation, but given Umtiti, his experience level, fairly talented, I don't think that'll be a bad backup option as well. So Gabriel and Umtiti have provided Chelsea with some decent defensive options in the transfer window. Obviously, that big asterisk with Koulibaly is up in the air as well. If he says yes, and if Koulibaly comes out tomorrow and says, I would love to play for Chelsea, I mean, drop everything you're doing and sign that guy and then figure everything out later. So, yeah, my option is Gabriel. Okay, moving on. What do you have next?
Left back.
Left back. Okay, interesting.
So Chelsea have been in the market for Ben Chilwell, extremely successful at Leicester. However, I still think he's not the best fullback that is there in Leicester. I think Ricardo's way better. And plus, he's going to be insanely expensive just because he's British. So I think a cheaper option would be Achraf Hakimi, the Moroccan who's on loan from Madrid to Dortmund, tearing it up. Champions League, tearing it up in the Bundesliga, very attack-minded, linking up with Sancho or whoever plays on the left side with him. So if he's available, because apparently Madrid don't really need him. They have two other left-backs. They have Ferland Mendy, who they signed for insane amount of money last year. So, I don't know, if he's available, if he's looking for first-team football, if he's looking for a competitive league, I think from Dortmund, that should be a relative upgrade. If not him, then Chelsea are also in talks with Alex Telles from Porto. I don't know too much about him. But again, playing in Porto seems okay. He's been at Porto for a really, really long time. Might come cheap. So any one of these two. But if I had a choice, then it'd be Hakimi. Because what I've seen of him, he's insane.
Interesting. And this is on top of Emerson and Marcus Alonso, assuming, I mean, Marcus Alonso is 50-50, can't really say with any surety if he's going to stay or leave. But he's going to keep at least one of Emerson and Marcus Alonso as well. So that those would serve as a backup to the left-back role.
Right. So it's so weird. I heard from the T4 podcast, and they were also talking about Chelsea, and someone described... Marcus Alonso as Superman and Clark Kent. So when he plays left right back, he's Superman to the extent that he contributes so insanely well to goals, assists, rebounds, free kicks, that all those goals he scored against Tottenham. Lampard is the only manager in the world to do the double over Mourinho in a single season, by the way. Who was at the forefront of that? Marcus Alonso. Someone even went on the Wikipedia page to Tottenham Hotspur and an owner wrote Marcus Alonso. Marcus Alonso owned Tottenham Hotspur. So yeah, so when he's at left, right, back, when you want to switch things up, when you want to play three at the back with your wing backs, yeah, he'll turn up for you. He'll wear his cape. He'll wear his Superman suit. When he's at left back, the guy doesn't know tactics. He doesn't know positioning. He's not fast. He's not hard, so he becomes Clark Kent. So I don't think so. He'll be an option for left back per se. Mm-hmm. But just to mix things up, if he wants to stay in England, if he wants to stay in London, yeah, he's more than welcome to. But know that he won't be first team. I think Emerson really needs to leave. I think Emerson is young. Mancini, the Italy team coach, he wants Emerson to come back to the Italian league just for first team, and so that he can prepare well enough for the Euros next year. So I think Emerson will be leaving for sure. He's definitely not first team. He needs the experience. Marcus Alonso can sort of chill, you know, do his thing, do his planks at home with home workouts or whatever. And whenever Tottenham comes up, he can just train for that Tottenham match, do his thing, and then go to the subs bench again. So, yeah.
It's also been interesting to see Lampard's sort of backline strategy, right? Like, whether his preferred is 3 or 4, I can't personally tell. I feel like it's a very played by ear, depending on who I'm playing against, sort of a situation. But it also feels slightly tailored towards who are my center back options right now. And, okay, I need to play Marcus Alonso. Let's switch to 3 at the back so I can play him as a wing back as opposed to my left back, because that guy can't defend as well as he used to. So it's very interesting to see his tactical setup change basis of the situation Chelsea are in. So whether it's defensive injuries or opponent's attacking style of play. I agree with you. If it's 3 at the back, Marcus Alonso, even in the Premier League, is a very decent left wing back option. I agree with you that he's not a good left back option as well. So you have a left back as your third pick. I like Hakimi as an option. I think he's a good player, and he'll be a good fit for Chelsea. Definitely better than both Emerson and Alonso. I actually have 2 forwards, so I have no defensive line. Why don't you just go ahead with your 4th pick, and then I can do my 3rd and 4th after that.
Okay, so yeah, my last position is center forward. Knowing that Giroud is leaving, knowing that Batshuayi is not particularly, let alone first choice, I don't even think so he's second choice, because sometimes Mount is played up front, sometimes Willian and Pedro are played as, you know, support strikers. So yeah, I don't know what's the guy's deal. I think we'll sell him to, if he wants to stay in London, he can go to Palace. He's had good loan experiences at Dortmund, at Valencia. I don't know if he wants to leave the league. So yeah, if we have the money, if everything falls through, someone like Lautaro Martinez, maybe if we can buy him for an insane amount of money, they already took Moses from us. We can give them Marcus Alonso and pay them a buttload of money and get Lautaro Martinez, because I don't want someone super experienced. I don't want someone super established. So maybe even if a Timo Werner is available, but I think he's most likely going to Liverpool. But I want someone young to come in so that Tammy and whoever comes in can sort of like butt heads and figure out, you know, or they can pretty much compete with each other, have no clear first choice and second choice. And I hope that they just like rub off each other and sort of just learn from each other and just get to that next level that they need to. Because I'm not the biggest fan of Tammy, despite the supposedly good season he's had so far. He's had improvements in terms of his gameplay, his holder play, his shooting and everything. Yes, the goals will eventually come. He reminds me, or maybe Chelsea are so used to like a Drogba or a Costa, hold up the ball, be a beast, be a leader. And he's not just there yet. So maybe just have someone and share that responsibility of the goals, the assists and the kind of play. So this guy fits perfectly. He's super, super young. He's tearing it up at Inter Milan. Messi personally wants him really badly. I don't know if it's because he's Argentinian or just because he's been that good. And also Inter and Barca faced off in the group stage of the Champions League. So if this guy's available for the right money in the right situation, I think it's going to be a world of a difference.
I agree, man. Martinez is killing it. Just having seen Inter so much this season, it's a little scary. And he's actually combined very well with Romelu Lukaku. That's something I haven't seen for a couple of years, anyone combining well with Romelu Lukaku. So it's pretty good to see that. The only bit there is that the Messi bit you mentioned, right? Whenever Messi wants someone personally, manager or player, it usually ends up happening. And on top of Messi, someone like a Luis Suarez has come out and said that, listen, I think Martinez is the ideal future for Barcelona. So he's going to be a like-for-like replacement for Suarez. So Suarez saying that, listen, this guy is going to be my successor in this centre-forward role, actually has a lot of weightage to it. I feel like a couple of other Barcelona players have also said something praiseworthy for him. So the indicators that I'm getting, I feel like Martinez is going to go to Barcelona if he's going to leave. Barcelona is always in a position to give a good price, and it's just the only thing that might work out for Chelsea's favor is this Chelsea inter inflow outflow that seems to be happening right now. Maybe that, like, some player package deal from here with Marcus Alonso or something that could come in their favor. But as far as I can ascertain, I feel like Lautaro Martinez is headed for Barcelona if he's headed out from Inter. So my third and fourth are both forwards. I don't know if this left-back conundrum is as important for Chelsea to fix as much as their forward conundrum. Their midfield is stacked, including Ziyech, who's going to come in from Monaco. And
Ajax.
And we haven't seen Loftus-Cheek as well. So that guy, once he's done from injury, Hudson-Odoi was kind of just coming back into the flow of it after his injury. Then the Mounts and Pulisic, and they're pretty stacked from a midfield, attacking midfield point of view, right? So I feel like it's just forwards for them. So firstly, center forward, I completely agree with. To be honest, I'm being completely honest, I forgot Batshuayi was an option. Just
That's exactly my point.
In my head, it was, okay, Giroud's leaving and it's just Tammy. Tammy needs help. I completely forgot about Batshuayi. I completely agree with everything that you said about Batshuayi. He needs to leave, man. He's not going to get minutes. He's not there yet. You see potential, you see sparks, which goes to show that he might get there at some point. But right now, he's not there yet. So hopefully, he gets loaned out and not sold, so that he has an option of coming back. Tammy's situation shouldn't, just for the fact that it can't be repeated. If he gets injured, they're just lost. Does not want to play Giroud for some reason. So it doesn't work. So they need a good center forward for sure. I think from what I understand, given contracts I feel like the right intersection for Chelsea in terms of the right price, a good sort of experience and a good contractual situation. This is, albeit a little controversial, I feel like Dries Mertens is going to be ideal for Chelsea. I think he's a great option. He's a proven goal scorer in terms of the Italian league. He's done superb there. He's actually a little old, so that might give you a good price. And he's always had this, for the past, I don't know how many years, he's had this problems with ADL and Napoli in terms of Majaro. He's one of Napoli's most decorated players. Good head of experience, will be great in the locker room, hopefully. He's a little tricky to get along with, as far as reports are concerned. But outside of all of that, I mean, great experience, should be greatly priced, has favorable contract situations available for getting pulled out of Napoli. And I think as a backup, pure backup for Tammy, I think it'll be a great option for him. The only thing there is that he might not want to be the backup striker. Right. So if he does come, it'll happen only with the promise of enough first team football to prove himself at least. I think that will be the biggest block in terms of converting Mertens into a Chelsea player, is that Lampard will need to say that you'll get enough first team minutes to prove yourself as whether you should be the first team striker or the second team striker. Chelsea's in enough competitions, man. There's enough of Europe and domestic leagues and, you know, like the Premier League and stuff like that. So the minutes can be shared, and we know that Tammy can't be. He's not physically at that point that he can just be thrown into 90 minutes of every football game. We know he's going to break down. So he needs a backup there as well. Maybe Dries Mertens could be convinced to do that. Let's see how that goes.
Before you move on to your next option, is Dries Mertens your proper target man, number 9 center forward? Yeah. Isn't he more like a Mane Salah kind of running from the wings?
No, no, know.
Part of your front.
No, so if you notice Napoli's style of play, I think the best combination they've had, the 1-2 combination they've had is Insigne and Mertens. And Insigne is your on the wing, super quick, just like shoots like a bullet sort of a player, like emulating what hopefully Hudson-Odoi or Mason Mount can do for these guys. Just someone quick to link up with, but Mertens becomes your target man in that situation. So even if you're doing a 1-2, Merton becomes the one of that 1-2 situation. Or just like a poacher, Aguero-style poacher in terms of in the box, right place, right time, just unleashes. So he's kind of ideal in that situation. I think what he's not too well suited for, given his just his makeup and his, well, condition of his legs, given his age right now, is to be that lead the counter-attack forward, which Tammy's actually had decent success with this season as well. So that might not work out, but he's definitely, and he's a much bigger upgrade on Giroud. Now, that's a good point raised by you, because what we saw this season was his reluctance to play Giroud was obviously because of those reasons. He's great on 1-2. He's great as a poacher. He's great when the ball is being played in and around the box. But he's not great as an option for getting the ball to that box. So Mertens might not be the best option for that as well. But just given that all of the other places that they have to strengthen, they need at least a decent enough backup to Tammy that Lampard is more than happy to play if in case that situation does arise. So Mertens can sort of play that role. And he's had decent success with Napoli's counter game, especially under Ancelotti and Sarri before that, that if he has these Insigne level really fast players around him, then he can figure out a way to enable that counter game. So that is a good enough indicator for me to just say that, all right, I mean, he's definitely better than Giroud for that option. And he should come on the cheap as well. And a lot of this relies on my fourth pick, which is why I sort of compromised on the center forward option and didn't go all out. And for my fourth pick, I just feel like Chelsea needs a big name signing. Just A, because they're Chelsea, B, because it just adds so much just clout to their squad. I think that has to be Jadon Sancho.
Right.
It just has to be Sancho.
He was my asterisk.
Yeah, I know. And he's, because it's tough to say, because every team in the world, especially every Premier League team in the world, Manchester United being the biggest contender, is after him. Rightly so. He's destroyed at Dortmund this season, and he did phenomenally well last season as well, just as a 18-19-year-old. The fact that you have that big name signing, he's English, he's young, he's phenomenal at what he does, and he's basically going to be what you expected Pulisic to be, essentially, last season when you guys got him in. And he's going to cost a bomb. And because of that, having him and Mount and hopefully Loftus-Cheek and hopefully all of these fast, quick players all around him sort of mitigates the drawbacks of having someone like Mertens in your squad, right? And they just need that big name signing, man. For whatever reasons outside of everything on the footballing pitch, your bloody jersey sales, your morale of fans around the club, all of that matters for so much as more now as it did like 10, 15 years earlier. So I feel like that's a signing that Chelsea needs to make as well. And I think Sancho can be convinced of the Chelsea project if he has like a long chat with Lampard and sort of understands what Lampard wants to do with the squad, where he wants to take it. The whole 3-4-year commitment project works. We've seen that with Liverpool as well. We know that success in year one is not the only thing that every club should be chasing for. It should be this mid to long-term project and setup that needs to be, that needs to happen. Given that argument, Sancho just might be tempted to get to Liverpool, because he's like, all right, I'm going to join a project which has already reached whatever conclusion it wanted to do, as opposed to start from. So there's a lot of like principles and outside the footballing pitch sort of arguments that can be made. But I think Sancho is going to be a pretty good fit in Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, he's apparently a Chelsea fan, so I don't know how that helps. But, I mean, like you mentioned, unfortunately, Chelsea can't sort of attract the best of the best, even though somewhere or the other, we may be able to afford decent numbers in terms of transfer fees. And the whole thing that Sancho didn't get the opportunity at City. He was sold to Dortmund, I think, as a 17-year-old. He's only 19 years old right now. Has had insane last couple of years. Not just first team, but I mean, he's been killing it. I don't know if any other young players that they've had. Hummels has gone back. Götze went back. Royce is still there, and he's obviously captain, but he's always injured. So Jadon Sancho's just become this sort of flag hoister, flag bearer for Dortmund over these last few months, few years. So wherever he ends up going, which I think will very much happen, if not in the summer, very, very soon, maybe just to get his price down or whatever, he'll need first team for sure. And I think the only places where he fits in first team is a United or a Chelsea. Now, United apparently offering the guy 400,000 a week. That's insane for a 19-year-old. But again, at 19 years old, if you want to be at the level of a Neymar, of an Mbappe, of a Mane, of a Salah, I think that's where you end up going, which is why United sort of seem like front runners for now. He'll definitely be first team at Chelsea as well. But again, Chelsea are packed like crazy when it comes to attacking midfielders. I think central midfield were okay. We have Kante, Jorginho and Kovacic. We have Billy Gilmore, and hopefully we have someone on loan at RB Leipzig who's not having a good time, so he'll be back as well. So we're okay in central midfield. But in attacking midfield, we have Mount, Barkley. We don't know if he stays, if he goes. CHO, we have RLC coming back. So I know there's just so many players. I don't know, Sancho coming in, does that show the rest that Chelsea's going back to its old ways of not trusting its loan army or its academy? Has the experiment with these young players ended? Are we so much more desperate, not for making the top four, but actually now competing? Because that gap with the City, with the Liverpool, is just untouchable. But at the same time, both those teams, I don't see Sancho fitting in. So it's going to be super interesting to see where the guy goes. But in terms of what you said, that Chelsea needs a big name just to round everything off, I think that makes sense. So, I don't know. Will that be a Koulibaly? We don't know if he's available. That's entirely up in the air. There's no rumblings whatsoever. Could that be a Lautaro Martinez? We don't know if Barcelona. Apparently, both Barca and Madrid haven't made contact yet. And Chelsea are already in the midst of making contact. I don't know, you know, if that helps their case or whatever. So, yep. It's just so much up in the air that even doing this without being employed by analysis or a parent club like Chelsea, it's still so freaking difficult to see which direction to go to.
That's true, man. I agree with you. I think he fits in pretty well with United and Chelsea on the pitch and off it as well, in terms of what both those clubs are doing in terms of British young football future, all of that stuff, right? I don't know about the point about the attacking midfields. They tried doing that with Pulisic as well last season, but didn't pan out. So they're more than happy to bench him if needed. So it's weird. All players can be sold as well. That's one thing that Chelsea is great at. If they have surplus requirements, they'd be more than happy to let one decent name signing go to some club, maybe a middling EPL club as well. So anyway, that rounds up our list for who we think works as four incoming players for this current Chelsea setup. We'll be back next week again with some COVID-19 updates as it stands at that point of time. And we'll be tackling two teams next week. Remains to be seen who they are. Surprise for all you guys. But there'll be two teams from the EPL. And one of them will be United for sure. So let's see. There's no need to hide that bit. And the second one, we're still figuring out what it is going to be. And again, that wraps up this week's episode of TFC. Forgive the audio quality, guys. I hope you guys understand. We're all locked in, safe at home. And I hope you guys stay safe as well. Quarantine yourself. Let's not have this pandemic spread more. And stay safe. And we'll catch you guys next week. Thank you.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media at Muncha Podcasts.
So, Shreyas, let's